Well, will you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. Have to make a little confession. That is, we're doing a series, as you would be well aware if you come regularly, in 1 John. And I was 3/4 through a message and I just could not get it right. And I wasn't happy with it. And I was a little confused, which would have been very evident. And so I had to pull up stumps and try and work out something else. And so ended up finding a very old message that I think would be much more applicable and better for you to hear than me trying to fumble my way through a passage that I don't quite understand yet. So we're in 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. Before we do, let's have a come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that, Lord, you are a God that we can love and we can serve and we can rely on. We thank you that, Lord, you can be there for every moment through the sad times and through the happy times and through every other time in between. And Lord, I pray that as we stop and consider your goodness to us and, Lord, facts of life, that, Lord, you may use this as a time where we can be encouraged, give thanks for what you do for us, and, Lord, that your name will be glorified in our midst. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the years, I have shared how I grew up on a campsite on the Central Coast. And the backdrop of the campsite is a mountain range, number of mountains, and then the highest mountain is called Mount Russell. And having lots of camps come along, we used to go for bushwalks bushwalk along a dirt track, a dirt road, but still bush either side of the dirt road. And we would go for hikes up there. It took about 2 hours to walk there and 2 hours to come back. So it was quite a long hike. And unfortunately, I have lost children up there on camps. But that's another story. But I won't lose your children this week, I promise. All right. I got better at not losing kids. And there were lots of wonderful bushwalks at that place, up in those mountain ranges. And one memory that I have of Mount Russell and the mountain ranges is when I was about 7, my 2 older brothers and another friend used to go bushwalking every Saturday just for a bit of fitness and a bit of adventure. And I remember them talking about how they found a place that they named Paradise. And they described it as it was in the middle of a valley. There was a brook that flowed down and there was a magnificent waterfall and there were like vines where they would cut and they were able to swim across this little ridge like Tarzan. And they would go and enjoy this time in what they called paradise. And as a 7-year-old, I'd think about that and think, that's amazing. That's exciting. And so when I got around about 15, me and a friend who lived on the campsite called Stephen, we decided to go and try and find paradise. So I rang my brother up and I said, can you describe sort of whereabouts it is and what it looked like? And he gave me all the details. And so we set off to find paradise. And we went first week, didn't find everything, third, fourth. Around about the 4th week, what we do is we'd get at the bottom of a mountain range and we just walk up the valley and see if we can find a waterfall, basically. Then we knew we found it. And we're going up and this in between the two ridges and there was this stream. And then as we got closer, we could hear water crashing. And sure enough, there was this waterfall. It was probably about the height of this ceiling. So it was fairly good size for a little mountain range, and there were rocks either side and there were these vines that you could cut which we cut with the machete, and you could swing across from either side like Tarzan, and we had found paradise. Little did we realize, as we kept looking, there was about three paradises, all right, there. But there were a number of these places. And so me and my friend Stephen, we would go there every Saturday, and we would play Tarzan, swinging across. We would take cut lunches and eat there. We would drink from the brook that would flow through. We would run under the waterfall and just enjoy our time there. We made little beds so we could have a little sleep up there in the day, obviously, and just enjoy our time. I remember lying down and after we'd had lunch, and I said to Stephen, I wish I could live here forever. It doesn't get better than this. Now, I had never slept there during the night or during the winter, but it was for what I could gather, it couldn't get better than this. I'm glad I live in the home that I live now, and I don't live there, I must admit, but at that time, I didn't know things could get better. But at the time, it seemed like the nicest place in the world. And every time I read 1 Kings chapter 17, I think about this place called paradise that we found. Because it seems as though the prophet Elijah found a little paradise that God supplied for him. Let me just fill you in on the details. In chapter 16, God came to Elijah and said to Elijah that I want you to go and confront that evil king Ahab. He was the king of Israel at that time, and God said that he was provoking him to anger. Now, that's not smart. It's not a smart thing to provoke God to anger. You're better off provoking a bear or a lion or anything else to anger rather than God himself. But King Ahab, due to his wickedness, was provoking the Lord to anger. And so the Lord said, I want you, Elijah, to go and confront him and tell him there's going to be a drought because of your wickedness upon the land. And so that's what we read in chapter 17, verse 1. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And so that's what Elijah had to go. He had to go before this wicked king and tell him that there wasn't going to be any rain, there wasn't going to be any dew until God gives the word. And so a great drought came upon the land. But even though others were going to suffer during this drought, as they suffered God's judgment, we discover that the Lord had a very special place preserved for Elijah. A little paradise. And we read this in verses 2 to 6. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And so Elijah had his own little piece of paradise. He had his own little hideaway. He had a brook of blessing, you could say. He had food delivered to him. He had water supplied to him as well. While others were suffering the judgment of God, he was being blessed by God in this wonderful way. And it's this little place of paradise, and particularly this brook of blessing of Elijah's, that I want us to consider. Because there are some lessons that we can discover for our own life as we look at what transpired here in the life of Elijah. Because although we may not have a little waterfall and on a mountain range that we can enjoy, even though we may not have a brook where we could drink from and have this little secluded place where God looks after us, in reality, we all have little brooks. We have little brooks of blessing in our life. Things that are a blessing to us. Things that we love and enjoy about life. Things that we are ever so thankful for. And I must admit, things that we never want to have leave us as well. We all have blessings, and they come in all different shapes and sizes. For many of us, our parents are what you would call a brook of blessing. They are there as that foundation for life. They are there as encouragement. They are there as stability. They're always there when you need them. They're a brook of blessing that you love. For others, it may be marriage, where it's a brook of blessing, a place where you can find companionship, love. You feel as though you could never live without your partner. It'd be a terrible thing to lose your partner. You want that relationship to live forever and be forever. Our children may be that brook of blessing. And I trust your children are a peace or a brook of blessing to you. You never want them to grow up. You just want them to stay little and cute and enjoy all those hugs and smiles. You never want them to grow up, and you never want them to leave, and you never want them to pass away either. They're a treasure and a source of blessing. You know, a local church can be a brook of blessing, a place of encouragement, a place where you can be fed the Word of God, a place where you can be encouraged by other godly people, a place where you can have a spiritual home, that little hideaway from the world. You go out into the world, you have to face worldly things, you have to live, or you have to work with people that don't see things the same way as you, but you can come to a local church and you can have that place of blessing and refreshment. I trust the local church is a place or a little brook of blessing. You know, something that we may not realize is a brook of blessing is our health. You don't realize how much of a blessing health is until you don't have the health that you once had. But to have the freedom to go where you want, when you want, and how you want, and to live as you want, that is a blessing. If you have the health to come out here, that's a blessing. There are many that don't and unable to leave their home, unable to go anywhere because of ill health. Health is a little brook of blessing. Even a job. Maybe not be the most exciting job, but the money that it provides for you to be able to live here is a little brook of blessing. And the list could go on of things in our life that are a little taste of paradise, a brook of blessing that you are very thankful for. And it's these little brooks in our life that I want us to consider today. They may be different for all of us, but we all have them. And I want to look at Elijah's brook called Cherith and learn some things for ourselves. And the first thing I want us to notice is that the brook that Elijah enjoyed was God's provision. Let's read it again in verses 2 to 5. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and listen to this, and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And so this brook was God's provision for Elijah. The Lord told him to go to this place. He wasn't like a Jonah where God said, I want you to go here. And Elijah goes, I'm not going there. I'm going this direction. I don't like the way you're telling me to go. No, God said, this is where I want you to go. I want to take you to this little brook called Cherith, and I'm going to provide for you at this time. And so he wasn't there out of disobedience. I know there are a lot of people, particularly a lot of Christians, who are enjoying things in this world, but it comes at the expense of obedience to God. God says, I want you to be there or do that or go there, but they don't. They go somewhere else because they want to enjoy various things of this life. that aren't what God wants them to be doing. You know, some should be with their family, yet they're out fulfilling selfish ambitions. Some should be in the Lord's house, worshipping God, hearing God's word, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together, but instead of doing that, they're out pursuing money or some other sort of activity. There are lots of people enjoying lots of things in life, but they're disobeying God. But this wasn't the case for Elijah. He was doing what God wanted him to do. And let's not think for a moment that our God doesn't want to provide these brooks of blessing for us in our life, these places of refreshment in our life. You know, you don't have to forsake the Lord and disobey Him to enjoy blessings. In fact, the best blessings come from the hand of God. He says that at His right hand are all pleasures. That's the best place to get blessings from. And that's why He says, in all thy ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct thy paths. God is in the business of directing our paths to various things, and some of those things are rich blessings, brooks of blessing. And as we acknowledge the Lord, He'll direct us to the right partner, to the right friends, to the right church, to the right job, to the right house, many things. Jesus told us when He is upon this earth, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that love Him? Jesus knew what the Father was like. Jesus knew that He loved us in a manner that we cannot understand, and that if wicked, selfish, sinful men still have a desire to give good gifts to their children, can you imagine how a sinless, selfless, loving Heavenly Father wants to provide for His children? And that's what Jesus was teaching us here. In fact, we're told in Samuel, them that honour me, God says, I will honour. That's a promise. He says, if you honour me, well then I will honour you. God isn't a God where He says, I want you to do everything for me and I'm not going to do anything back for you. No, He says, you honour me and I'll honour you. And that's why we read in the Word of God, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It is a blessed man who chooses to do things God's way. It's a blessed person who says, God, I will submit to your leading and I'll allow you to direct my paths. We shouldn't have the wrong perception of God, as if He never wants us to enjoy life, that he never wants us to find those brooks of blessing. And if we do stumble across one, that He's very quick to reef it from out from under us. Because that's not true. He's a good God and a loving God, and we can be sure that if we honour Him in our life, He will honour us and direct our paths. And so if you have some brooks of blessing in your life, please don't think it's wrong that you're enjoying things that others may not have. Don't feel that you're being selfish. Don't feel guilty because you have things that some don't have. Don't think God is pacing the corridors of heaven trying to work out how He can take these blessings from you because He doesn't want you to be so happy in your life. No, God is the place where true blessings are found. Now, just like Elijah, God does, and He will provide those brooks of blessing in our life. And when we have them, we should respond the same way the psalmist did, where he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. When we have blessings in our life, thank God for them. Acknowledge they come from the throne of God, and acknowledge this is God's goodness upon me. Psalmist goes on to say, make known His deeds among the people. Tell people of how good God is to you. And give thanks to Him. How often do you thank the Lord for your spouse? for your children, for your church, for your job, for your food, for your needs provided, for your wants that you get, for your health, and the list could go on. We're told, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And so the first thing I want us to notice there is this brook came about because Elijah obeyed God. And many of the brooks of that we enjoy in our life are simply due to the goodness of God. But the next thing I want us to notice, and this is very important for each one of us to accept, and it's found in verse 7, and that is brooks don't last forever. We read this in verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. I find that interesting. Even though Elijah was right where God wanted him to be, even though this brook was God's provision, it says after a while, it still dried up. And I can imagine that Elijah wondered why. Why provide this wonderful place? Why give me this brook and the birds bringing the food and let me feel safe and let me feel secure and have all my needs provided and then let it dry up? What's the point of that? The drought is still here. I still have needs. So why on earth would you let that dry up? You know, if he thought like us, he could have reacted to the drying up of this brook in a number of ways. If he acted like us, he might have thought that, oh, God must be angry with me. I must have done something wrong, and he's judging me for that. Now, I'm not denying that God can dry up brooks to try and get our attention, but often we think that's the only reason why they dry up. I've been blessing this, been blessed by this, and now it's gone, so God must be angry with me. But that's usually not the case. Or if he thought like us, he might have been thinking, well, God's really let me down here. Wow. Provided, but now it's not there. I thought I could trust God. I thought he was going to provide my needs as he said he would. And now it's gone. I don't know if I can trust him anymore. Or maybe he thought, well, maybe it wasn't God's will in the first place. Maybe I wasn't meant to be here. You know, if God provided, and wouldn't it have continued if it was God's provision? Drying up might mean that it wasn't God's will in the first place. Because that's generally when there's something that is a blessing to us and then we lose it for one reason or another. That's usually how we respond. We either think God's angry with us, we think God's let us down, or we think maybe it wasn't God's will in the first place. But the fact is, nothing in this life is forever. There is no promise that brooks of blessing will last forever. They are just a glimpse of the eternal joy we will one day get to enjoy. But that's not for now. For here, now, on this earth, we're under the curse. Things wax old, God says. Things change. Things in this world are temporal. That's what we're told. The things that we see are temporal. They are here for a short time and then they go. They don't last forever. And the fact of the matter is, if you can think of brooks in your life now, accept the reality that they are not yours forever. Your marriage isn't forever. I trust it will be until death do us part, and that's why it's not forever. But they aren't forever. Our health is not forever. And the older you get, the more you realize that. Friends are not forever. Children are not forever. They are all temporal. And this is the thing, and this is what brings a lot of anxiety to people unnecessarily. Because what they want to do is they want to live in a fantasy world thinking that this is heaven and everything is forever. But they spend their whole life trying to make things last forever that will never last forever. They try to have everything they have and not lose anything. And in the pursuit of that, They get so anxious and so scared because they might lose it, when in the reality they're going to lose it one way or another. And that's why Jesus told us not to lay not up for ourselves treasure on this earth, but in heaven. Look for the eternal things and invest your time and energy into that, because the eternal things are forever, not the temporal. That's why he said, set your affections on things above and not on things below. These things on earth are simply temporal. Some last longer than others. Some don't last as long as what you expected. But just because they dried up, it doesn't mean God's angry. It doesn't mean it wasn't God's will in the first place. It doesn't mean you're out of God's will. It doesn't mean he no longer loves you. You know, did God stop caring for Elijah just because the brook dried up? If you know the story, no. He continued to love him. That brook was just a temporary blessing until it was time for him to move on. And that's what every one of us have to accept with the blessings that we do enjoy in our life. You know, we should be thankful for them. We certainly shouldn't be taking them for granted. We should enjoy them to their fullest, because life is but a vapor. We have it for a short time and then it's gone. And so if you've got some brooks of blessing in your life and you're getting anxious because maybe they're starting to fade away or you've lost some, understand that's how it happens. But the question I guess I would like to answer today, and we do find this in this story of Elijah, and that is, why do brooks dry up? Why can't we have things forever? Or at least until our end of our life, which probably doesn't make sense, because if you want good health forever, well then you don't die, do you? But the reality is, why does God allow things to dry up? Well, we see a number of reasons why God does. First thing we find from Elijah's life is that God does allow brooks to dry up so he can move us on, so that to a place where he can use us again. Have a look in verses 8 and 9. This is after everything was dried up. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so, the Lord was still looking after Elijah, but now he wanted to use him. Elijah had a nice, restful time. He had regathered himself. He had enjoyed blessings from God. And God had dried up, and Elijah's wondering, oh, what's this all for? And God says, because I want you to go here, to this place. There is a widow and her son, and I want you to save their life. And I'm going to use them to sustain you, and I'm going to do some wonderful things through you at that time. Imagine if Elijah just wanted to stay near that brook. That woman, that child, would have passed away, and there would have been many other things where God would have wanted to use him, but he never would have. And you know, brethren, sometimes God has to take a brook away so we're ready to move on. Or be in a place where we can be used in other ways. And when a brook does start to dry up, I encourage you to ask, God, are you trying to move me on? Are you trying to show me that I need to be used in other ways? Sometimes brooks dry up because it's God's way of moving us, so he could use us in another way. But sometimes God allows brooks to dry up because he has other battles that he wants us to enjoy, and victories from those battles. You know, most people like the idea, if you look at, do you want to live in paradise or do you want to live on the battlefield? I think I know what everyone's talking. I'm picking paradise. I'm picking a nice, quiet, comfortable place without battles, no problems, and everything supplied to me. Isn't that what we want? I just want to live in my little bubble of paradise and have an easy life. And Christians want that as well. But when people do that, they never see God use them. They never see victory because they've fought no battles. And so they never get to trust the Lord more and more in their life and rejoice in what God has done. And that's why so often they become so stale and cynical, because they haven't seen God give them victory for a long time. Sometimes God says, you've enjoyed lots of blessings. It's now time for another battle, so you can enjoy the victory through me. And so sometimes that's the reason why. Other times, it's because he wants us to grow in trusting him more. You know, if we read on, it would have been nice for Elijah if he just stayed there and had everything supplied to him continually. He wouldn't have to trust. We wouldn't have to step out in faith again, because God is providing everything for him. But the day that he had to leave that brook, he once again had to trust that God would provide his needs once again. He had to trust him. And that is one of the best ways of growing, when you're forced to rely on God to provide your needs once again. The problem is, we prefer not to do that. Yes, in the past, God has provided for me in a wonderful way. Oh, God was great. He was amazing. Oh, I trust God sincerely. Oh, but you want me to leave all that behind and trust you again? Oh, look, I'm over all that. I don't want to trust anymore. I'd rather just hang around this dried up brook. And sadly, that's what a lot of people do. They don't want to step out in faith and trust the Lord for the next stage in their life. And they will hang around this brook that's dried up, hoping some water may come down again at some stage. And you talk to them, and that you talk about what God has done in your life, and they'll go, oh yeah, God's been wonderful to me. I remember 10 years ago that he provided for me in a wonderful way. That's all they've got to talk about. The old brook that's dried up, because they're still hanging around it. They haven't been willing to step out in faith again. And brethren, that leads to a very stale, sad life eventually. Feeling secure all the time and not having to trust God isn't really the best thing for us. And so sometimes God just dries up the brook and says, it's time to leave. Time to trust me again. And maybe that's why a brook dries up. But you know, there's another one, and I've basically touched on it already, but it's one that we probably don't like, because it's not an answer that we want. We generally want answers to our problems, don't we? But sometimes brooks just dry up because they dry up. And there's no reason for it. You know, as we're told in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up. And so on. There's a time for everything in life. And although we would just like always to be fed and to be secure and to be alive, the reality is there's a time where we're hungry. There's a time when we're not fed. There's a time when we die. There's a time for everything. Brooks of blessing will come, and they will go. And if a brook has dried up or is drying up, can I encourage you to look to the Lord to direct your paths? What do you want next, Lord? What are you teaching me? Oh, Lord, please accept that this brook has dried up. You know, really, if you think of one man that had a lot of brooks dry up at one time, it would have to be Job, wouldn't it? Wow, he had all these blessings. If I was preaching this message, he could sit there, oh, I'm so blessed. I've got all these children. I've got all these animals. I've got all these riches. I've got these servants. I've got all these friends. I've got this wonderful health. I've got so many brooks of blessings. And within a day or two, they're all gone. What did he say? Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes when brooks dry up, all we have to do is worship. Say, Lord, you gave, and now you've taken away. I thank you for the time I had. And that's why if you have some brooks of blessing in your life, cherish them. Give thanks for them. Every day, during the day, thank you, God, for what you've given me. With the understanding that you may not have it tomorrow. But that's how life works in God's plan. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the God of whom all blessings come. And we thank you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for each person who makes it what it is. Thank you for the children that we have. Thank you for the health to come. Thank you for so many wonderful things. One day we will be in an eternity in heaven and we will enjoy all the blessings forever. But Lord, for now I pray that we would never forsake you, regardless if we have blessings or if we don't. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.